You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Dr. Lara Greaves this morning. Kia ora, Lara. How are you today?
Morning. Excellent. How are you?
Good. Lots going on at the moment. Let's start with a conversation that's quite a tricky one to unpack. There's been allegations about the misuse of private data by Te Pāti Māori, and this has now kind of, kicked into effect a lot of reviews of different government agencies. What's actually happening at the moment? What's going on in this space? It's quite a big one to unpick, I guess.
Yeah, like for me, it was finally that like data and politics have intersected in a scandal. And like, while I'm happy that finally something's exactly aligned with my expertise, I'm also kind of bummed generally for society on this one because it's not great. So basically what happens is, because we know that census response rates have dropped over time and that StatsNZ have really struggled with their strategies to engage Māori in a good way, various Māori community providers, just general community providers, have been engaged to collect census data. In this case, Manurei o Marae had like a day where you could come and do the census and hang out and get some hāngi and hang out, basically. So it was way bigger incentive to fill it out. And so there's allegations that people were then photocopying census forms and then using the information from census forms to put it into some kind of database or to store it in some way so that they could then figure out who to best target to go onto the Māori roll, to turn out to vote, to do all those sorts of things that would advantage their candidate, Akuto Moana past Kemp, in some way. And so where this is particularly, I think, concerning is there were only 42 votes in the Tāmaki Makaurau race. So Kemp won by 42 votes of a Pemihenare. That was a really, really close race. And there was, you know, a bit of back and forth and a recount and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So that's where there's a particular concern. Now, the other broader concern, though, however, is that there's now talk of, is there a conflict of interest in this case? There have been earlier allegations with the Electoral Commission that it's a Pāti Māori song. It's a great song, the magic people to me song.
It is a great song.
It's a great song. Now it's in your head. But that it was playing over the speakers at the marae and when people were voting and that sort of thing was going on. There's also some allegations that some texts were sent using maybe some of the numbers that people had given around the vaccine drive. So the use of data here has not been, from what we can see so far, has not been ideal. Mm. But the problem that I've had all along as someone who studied this area is thinking about, you know, whose jurisdiction is it, mm-hmm. what laws cover it, and what kind of does need reviewing here. And so the specific circumstances are being reviewed by different agencies because there were also complaints about this earlier when people saw that, hey, this wasn't quite right. So the Public Service Commission's announced an inquiry where a KC classic and a Wahine Māori Pāne Grey, who's got a bit of governance experience, are going to be going in and doing the inquiry and figuring it out. I think broadly, though, this speaks to the fact that our political parties don't have great data policies. Yeah. They really don't. We looked into this as part of the Independent Electoral Law Review, and they don't. And we all know, like, living in society, that data is becoming a bigger part of our lives and everything we literally do. So that's kind of the scandal in a nutshell, and I'm just kind of hoping that now we can see that there needs to be, you know, investment and consideration and policy action in the space, because actually it's just going to undermine trust, Māori trust, Māori data sovereignty, and just hear all the good things if we don't have sensible policies in this area.
Mm, absolutely. It is one of those things where, I mean, data's always been, data is like a thing that's always existed, but obviously in the way that the internet and the way that, you know, people are online, particularly at the moment, changes the relationship of data to all sorts of things like politics. But what specifically, you know, do you think would be, I mean, this is like obviously a lot of interventions would perhaps be needed here, but is there anything that you think is something we should particularly as a country be thinking about, given our very specific place in the world, our very specific demographics? Is there something that, you know, we should really have in consideration here in Aotearoa?
I think within specifically the electoral space, there does need to be just more consideration of data and potentially things along the lines of guides and guidelines based on the Privacy Act, because what we've kind of found talking to the political parties and just talking to actors in the system is that people don't necessarily know about the Privacy Act. Mm. I had to upskill myself quite a bit on it, and I'm, you know, a data researcher, so I think it has been modernised to try to account for a lot of the secondary use of data to make sure it's only used for what's collected for and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that is something that I just think that political parties needed a lot of upskilling on. And in this case, of course, it's not necessarily clear whether it is just a few volunteers. You know, New Zealand politics is amateur, and it does this an insult. We're literally amateurs. Like, a lot of us are not professionals. People are working in the field, out of passion, mahi aroha, you know, they're not actually getting paid. And so in this case, sometimes it can just be that some volunteers did something a bit wrong and a bit weird.
Yeah.
And or the real question is this within the party infrastructure, and did Kemp know about it? Did John Plummerhead know about it? That's the real kicker and the real thing that we'll all be watching for in terms of these findings and reports. But that being said, those amateurs should have some kind of guide for that, or there should be some kind of clear thing that they can and cannot do. Because I think, having looked into it a little bit, I think that a lot of people would be grossed out and weirded out by some of the data that political parties have on us.
Yeah.
For example, there's a thing called the master roll. And this is all legal. There's a thing called the master roll. It's a list of whether we all voted or not. Not how we voted, but whether we voted. And political parties can access that and build a database about us across multiple elections.
Yeah.
And that's a bit, I don't know, like, I haven't tested the public view on that, but that's a bit creepy to a lot of people that I tell about. That's just within the law.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Some kind of good guide would be good, and then also just greater consideration by the Electoral Commission and whether something needs to go on the Electoral Act.
Totally. Really interesting time. We'll watch that one closely. Let's have a little look at, we've talked about with you, Lara, you know, post-budget, some of the, I guess, impressions that we've seen hitting the headlines, the way that it's been received by different parties. But how has the leadership of the government, I guess, come through over the last couple of weeks, particularly Chris Luxon? Because obviously a lot of the focus when a budget comes out is on the finance minister, Nicola Willis. But what do you think the prime minister's, I guess, role in all of this is looking like to the public at the moment?
Well, one of the things that's really tough at the moment is there are, like, not a political poll. So there's the Taxpayers Union Courier poll, but we also should be a little bit wary about who's commissioning that. I'm not necessarily challenging the validity of the results, but also I haven't managed to get a copy of the results because last time I checked, you had to sign up for the Taxpayers Union to get a copy of the results. The full report, the report. yeah, exactly. So basically, we don't get a lot of polls, so we actually are not. It's not clear exactly how Luxon is tracking in the public. Last we saw, we did not see a honeymoon bump, and we haven't seen any great increases as people have gotten to know him. And so he is struggling, I think, a little bit in terms of comms and in terms of gas and things of that nature. We saw in the last week, a couple of days ago, he kind of misspoke in a way and called previous business leaders on previous trade delegations more like C-listers. And that's just like not the kind of thing. If you think about someone like John Key, who, you know, is similar, like the similar businessman, overall CEO type of person, he just kind of had that instinct to not insult people. Because it's that thing, you know, in politics, it's hard because in politics we're like, oh, they're not relatable, they're a bit dull. And then it's like, if they then get a little bit loose and say something that they think, then we're like, oh, that's a bit, So it's a hard line to tread. Yeah, so Jacinda Ardern and John Key, we just had two prime ministers that really, really, really had that instinct. And now we've got one that perhaps doesn't as much. And so I think that's where he's struggling a little bit with the gas and with the wording. Remember, if we going back to when that whole thing around his housing and him talking about entitlements, when, you know, a lot of people are quite broke at the moment. So he just doesn't necessarily have that instinct overall. I think what I go back to is it's not necessarily a prime minister in waiting. I think people overall, it seems when I've seen any kind of rate them sort of data, that people do like Hipkins a little more, but it's not clear that he'll have that excitement behind him to be able to take the leadership and then be leader and become prime minister and win with Labour. So that's the big question there still, is that we don't necessarily have like an exciting, inspiring time, I think, in our leadership.
No.
But also, sometimes we should sit and reflect as to whether we really want someone who's that exciting.
Yeah, it's an interesting question in and of itself. Just very briefly before we let you go, Lara, we've talked a lot about the relationship between the National Party and the two smaller parties they're in coalition with, New Zealand First and ACT. But what's the, I guess, relationship between the National Party and the Labour Party looking like at the moment? Because these are two centrist parties. In theory, there's a lot of shared, goals that they have for the country. What are we seeing at the moment in terms of their values, sitting opposite sides of the House, of course?
Well, we've seen a couple of moments of sort of like cross-partisan agreement around the, there was a bit of agreement around the so-called granny flat law that will allow people to build small houses on their properties, and also around this whole sorting out of the Defence Force plane. And so it's cool whenever we see that cross-party agreement, because actually in some other systems people do tend to agree more across those parties, some of the European systems. So it would be nice to have that, where our centre parties, especially as it seems as though New Zealanders are quite used to MMP now and are quite into voting for minor parties. And as the minor parties pop up, they'll need to differentiate themselves from the centre parties, and we'll get what looks like polarisation or a lot of more left and right attitudes popping up. So I think those moments of cross-party agreement are a great thing to see, and I think it's something that I'd fundamentally like to see more of. We saw a bit under the last Labour government around sort of housing and what to do with housing density, although I think in the end National went back on that. But it'd be nice to see that sort of thing. And every election, of course, we get this idea or this talk of what if there was a grand coalition between Labour and National, and I'm sure it will pop up again time and time again. And it's fundamentally unlikely, but I think these moments of unity are really nice when I think that a lot of us are reflecting on New Zealand and where there's populism that's appeared and where there might be polarisation. So, to see, that's a solid A- from me.
Totally. Super interesting to see. Thank you so much, Lara. Great to speak with you. I hope you have a really wonderful rest of your week, and we'll talk again very soon. Kia ora.
You too. Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.